All right, we are live. Bit of a in the moment live stream here. Got some different gear hooked up so we can make some noise. All right, Risky, how are you? Fender Guru, welcome. Jamal, how you doing, mate? That's funny. Doesn't matter what time of the day or night, Jamal's awake. Vintage Ale, welcome. Kevin, Thomas, Scott. Let us know where you're from too, guys, if you're new to the live stream here. Got a few guys here already, which is awesome. It says that there's two watching, but about 40 people have commented. So, yeah, I think the counter might be a little bit out here. All right, good to see you. My power just came back on. Awesome stuff. Sucks when the power goes out. Hey, Patrick, welcome. Got Riley. Lots of guys here already. Awesome stuff. Frozen Dan from Chicago. Very cool. Dylan, welcome, mate. I'm sleeping less and less. You're probably right. Risky says, I'm loving my Fender GT Mustang GT40 on the Focused One Global EQ. Yeah, the Global EQs do make a bit of a difference. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, I think it's a good improvement to the amp. Not all of them are great, but I'm sure some of them will sound better in different amps than others. So, yeah, I'm glad they've kind of made the amp a whole lot better lately. That's really cool. Cheddar, what are you doing, man? Thanks, dude. Dingo Repellent Fund. Well, we do get a few foxes around here, so hey, hope you're well, man. Thanks again. I appreciate that. That's funny. Guys, if you haven't seen Cheddar's channel, go check it out. He never wants shout-outs for doing that, but he's going to get one. Sound a lot like money for nothing. So I've got this sort of push-pull pot on here. It does this. How's it go? Yeah, so it definitely has that sort of sound. Foxes are cute. Yeah, well, they are. They're cool. Well, they're kind of cool. They're a bit of a menace, but they're cool. So today I'm using this. I thought I'd break out something different using the Zombie Joyo amp. And I've got one of their delay pedals, one of their new ones, which I totally forgot I had. So I thought I'd give that a go. Let's go on through the effects loop. So that's what you're hearing. Based on the Mesa Boogie kind of vibe. So if you like the boogie tone, you'll probably get a kick out of the sound this thing makes. It's pretty sweet. I had this really killer groove before we started. It was this. Ah, it's always the way, huh? Should have recorded it. Sounds grunty. I use my Mustang 240 watt, takes pedals quite well. Cool. DSL 15 is my other amp. Good stuff. Music Seeker says, hello, I have a Hot Rod DeVille 410 amp, and I'm picking it up soon, maybe. Maybe, any suggestions on how to tame the volume? What are my views on attenuators? If you're going to get an attenuator, just get one that goes in the effects loop with that amp. I think it's almost overkill to buy like a... I used to do that with my DeVille. I used to have one of those little boxes that go in the effects loop and gives it an extra master volume. So if you buy one of the new ones, though, you should be able to get a pretty good sound straight out of the amp, even at a lower volume. I think the taper's a little bit better. But if you want the clean channel to break up, there's really no easy way. It is 9:42 a.m. ¶¶ Dylan says, question for you, Shane. You wake up and you see a massive spider above you on the ceiling. What do? You panic before you do anything. But then I tell you, the best way to get those house spiders out of the house is those big ones. This is what I do. And I hate spiders, right? It's like my thing. I've never liked them. I get a big plastic tub, you know, like something that you can just put, like, you know, you can repackage food in or something like that. And just a clear one so you can see through it. Put it up on the roof and move it until the spider jumps in the box and they have trouble getting out of the plastic. Maybe their feet don't grip the plastic so well. Put the lid on, take it outside. I don't kill them. I try not to. I hope you can continue with the Mustang Monday videos. I don't think I will, man. I've done like 40 or 50 of them. I think that's plenty. There's another guy who's doing like heavy metal kind of ones, heavier sounds and all that. So I don't think, as of right now, I don't think I'm going to do any more. Are you into Wolf Mother at all? I don't mind some of their stuff. I don't own any of it, but I've heard some of it. Jamal says he hooked up his GT40 all day yesterday going through pedals as well. Cool stuff. Ooh, that was jazz. That's two different keys. Tell us about this guitar. This is from Robert. So this is the Little Crow Raven, which I've had for, I don't know, maybe a year or so, maybe longer. I'm not really too sure. It's dual humbucker guitar. It's made in Australia. Briley pickups. It got modded recently. It had this like five-way toggle switch thing, which sort of stopped me wanting to play it. Because you couldn't get to bridge and neck really quickly. You had to go click, 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 click. And it was a high tension sort of thing. So that got replaced with this switch, and it's great. It's back to like just great tones. It's got nice chirp on the tops. Yeah, everything's good. How's the delay? Is it too much or not enough? That's tape echo. Might try this tube echo one, see how what this sounds like. Yeah, the mix is probably a little too much here. Let's just turn that down. And let's speed it up a bit. Here we go. Can you tell me an amp setting for Layla on a Les Paul? I don't know. I'd just dial it in clean. There's an album Clapton did in the 70s called The Rainbow Concert where a lot of his friends were trying to get him off the drugs and back into music. And he played Les Paul all over that. So I don't know. I think it's just about how you play the song more than it is about trying to dial in the exact tone. Just play the song the right way, you know, and you'll be laughing. How's it go? Don't play it the way I just played it. But, you know, if you play the riffs right, it should work. It doesn't really matter what guitar you got. Where I'm from, we have Black Widows and Brown Recluse. Have to be careful. I tell you what, Australia, I'm not boasting about this. It's not a good thing to boast about, but we have, I think, 8 out of the 10 worst spiders in the world. So, welcome to Australia. Amanda, welcome. How you doing? We've got Shirin. Is that how you pronounce that? Shireen? I'm not sure how to pronounce that. I apologize. I eat all the spiders that come into my house. They choose their fate. That's from Cheddar, by the way. What other colors does this guitar come in? I think this is it. I think that's just like one of their few guitars. Hey, check this out. Ooh, look at that. It's got TV Jones pickups. We'll have a look at that in a sec. All right. I like your playing, always good mix of tone and flash and feel, which we should all aspire to. Oh, thanks, man. I don't know how flashy a player I am, but I've noticed over the years, when I go back to my old videos, it was all straight minor stuff, you know, and now I've got a lot of other tricks in my bag that I didn't have back then. So for me now, it's just about getting fluid with what I can do and trying to make it work. Love the new Little Crow. That's from Dave the Hare. Thanks, man. Guitar Pitch says, I got a super deal on Black Friday. Any thoughts on those gold foil pickups they come with? Yeah, overall, they're pretty cool. The thing I've noticed with them is they've got maybe a little bit more output than a Strat sometimes and less buzz. So, I don't know. They're single coils, right? But they don't have a whole lot of buzz. So, whatever they've done to them, they've almost made them, they're not hum cancelling, but they're way less buzzy than a Strat. Or even a Telecaster. I used mine live like two Sundays ago, or was it three? Three Sundays ago. And it was good, but I don't know. You got to kind of dial your amp in a little bit differently. While they've kind of got more output, I also found like you got to add a little bit more top end to your sound. At least I did with my particular setup that I had that night. I also got a chance to test out the Marshall with the new speaker last Sunday, and it was great. So coming up this Sunday, I'm going to be filming a jam with the guys. So I've organized like a little gig jam thing with a few of the guys that just head up there every week, and we're going to do like five camera angles and put a little bit of a live clip together for YouTube as well. So hang around for that. It should be fun. So Rick will be there, Ryan, this other guy Dom, who's a great player as well, myself, I've got this guy Ken who plays bass, and two drummers, Drew from Drew's Drum Tracks, and Richo, who's a great drummer as well. So we're going to mix it up and do some jamming and film it and maybe do like a little bit of a rundown on all the gear we're using and stuff too. But I got to say, like I took the Marshall out and man, it was the sound I was hoping for with that speaker. It's pretty cool. That Little Crow reminds me a little bit of a PRS SE, except it's a bolt-on. Maybe the shape, possibly, might remind you of it, but nothing else about it reminds me of it. The feel of the neck, it's completely different. The timbers they've used is completely different. The finish on the body is like a stain instead of a actual like high gloss varnish or whatever, or an oil finish or something like that. So. It's quite a lot different. It's heavier too, but it's not too heavy. It's not like like a back-breaking Les Paul or anything like that. So. Do I ever run two amps, either stereo or wet dry? It sounds huge. I used to do that a couple times. There was one venue I played gigs at where I could get away with a PV Bandit facing everybody and a DeVille on 10 facing behind the stage kind of. And that was a great tone. But yeah, I just found it too much of a hassle. I used to get shocked a lot from the microphones running two amps. It was always an earthing problem somewhere, and you'd touch the mic and you'd literally get like a zap. So I stopped doing it. It was just too much of a hassle. Hey, Shane, do you have any thoughts on Way Huge? Sorry, I missed that comment before too, a question. Yeah, they make some good stuff. They also make a couple of pedals that I don't like, but they've got one called the Angry Troll, which is pretty cool. It's like a volume boost with this incremental like fist control on there. It's pretty cool. And they've got, obviously, their delay is pretty popular as well. The Aquapus. A lot of people say they're not made the same as they were back in the day after Dunlop bought them out, but I don't know about that. You know, if you like the tone of it, that's the main thing. So there's nothing wrong with any of these pedal companies. They all make good stuff. It just comes down to what you like the sound of. Play some Silverchair. I don't think I can. What's my opinion on the Marshall Origin 50 head? If you're going to buy an Origin amp, probably buy the head. You could put it with a much better speaker box. I think the downfall or the Achilles heel of those Origin combos is their speaker box. I just think they're not great. You know, like I find like the 20 is a great sounding little amp, but it's not the speaker. It's sort of a 10-inch speaker. I know Princeton, the Fender Princeton does that as well, but I don't know, in a Marshall, man, you want bigger speakers. So I would buy the 50 head and chuck it on a 212 or a single 12. And buy the speaker you want is what I'm trying to say. If you were to put that amp head through the speaker, you know, I've got that Tonka, man, it'd be awesome. So I kind of feel like it's the best way for that amp is to probably just buy the head. All right, so I guess the question is, did anyone else buy anything cool for this deal, the Black Friday thing? That's just something that we've never really done in Australia, but I saw it pop up a lot. I bought some new plugins for my software that I edit with from the States, and I think it's from the States, this company. And yeah, you'll see some improvements and updates to the videos I'm producing. Some of the new ones I've just shot look amazing, so hang in there for those. All right, see you, Cheddar. Sorry, man, I must have missed that. I got to go. Yep, all right, cool. Thanks, mate. Take it easy. Thanks again for the super chat. Most pedals work for somebody, not everybody. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, you know, it all comes down to your experience with stuff, too. Like, I can almost get any delay pedal to almost do what I want to some extent. It might not be as good as my favorite one or whatever, but... You know, I'm trying this out for the first time, or second time actually. I've tried this once while I was overseas, this pedal, but I don't think I've used it since. And I've, you know, just dialed it in and it sounds pretty good. Please continue your Mustang Monday series. I don't think I can, man. Like, after 50 videos, it's just like, how many more tones can I come up with? I kind of covered everybody that I thought I'd want to do, and if I continued it, I'm basically coming up with patches for people that I am not really that interested in, unless I can find a list of musos that I go, wow, yeah, that's the sound I want to replicate. For me now, it's not really about imitating other guitar players, and it hasn't been for a long time. I just think you got to find your own sound, and it's a really handy thing to be able to kind of get into those amps and learn how to make it sound like something you're listening to, too. I mean, if I can do it, anyone can do it. China Guitar Skeptic, welcome, mate. How are you? I just bought a Saucy box. Good deal on it. Awesome stuff. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like a pedal. Matthew says, DSL-40 with a Celestion Creamback is literally awesome. A mate of mine loves the Creambacks. I haven't tried it in that. He did offer to lend me one just to see if I'd like it, but I'm kind of going through this like eminence phase where I almost feel like they can do no wrong with their speakers. I love it. I'm not endorsed by any of these speaker companies. I go out and pay full price like everyone else does. So it's a real hit and miss kind of situation when you buy a speaker. You never know whether or not you're actually going to get what you hope you're going to get until you actually put it in and hope and turn it up. So for me, the thing is, now that I've tried so many speakers and I've been able to not only sort of critique them in person and like and know what I like about them and also hear the samples on the Eminence website, I can pretty much tell if I'm looking for a sound where it needs to sit in relation to what I already know. So my two favorite ones at all time, Swamp Thing and the Texas Heat, are my two favorite speakers of all time. Like whether you're playing a Fender or a PV, those two speakers are just killer. But I didn't want the Fender sort of voicing in the Marshall. That wasn't what I was looking for. So I went through the website and I started looking at the graphs. I nerded it out for like 2 days. I might put a video together about the process of this because for me, it just makes logical sense to kind of just go through and see what you like in terms of output rating and also tone. And then I go into the charts and I look at the frequency graph and I go, okay, so this one has less of that and more of this. And then I go through like the English versus American speakers and I wanted to basically get a speaker in here that would work extremely well for this amp, and I hopefully have done that. Hey Steve, how are you, man? Welcome. Sonia, welcome. Sorry I didn't say hi before. Oh, Matty K, thanks, man. No question, just a shout out. Oh, I finally got a Silver Sky, and I don't care what people say, this thing rocks. It's a solid guitar, man. Nothing wrong with it at all. I think the fanboys of Fender are just grumpy that, and maybe to the PRS fanboys as well were grumpy that they made a Strat copy. But, you look at companies like Sur and LSL and every company on earth, and they've all done a Strat copy, except for Gibson. Maybe they'll do one coming up this year just to mix it up. So, yeah, look, a good guitar is a good guitar. I don't care what anyone says. But you know what? I haven't played one, but my friend Rick played one and he said it was a solid guitar. So, that's just the way it is. So good stuff, man. Congrats. Danny H, welcome. All right. Can I do a comparison with the Eminence speaker? I can. Look, I plan on doing more speaker videos at some point. I don't know if it'll be in December, unfortunately. I've got most of December already scheduled. I've got like the first 2 and a bit weeks, so I'll see whether or not I can do that. I want to try and get a box that I can just put the speakers in and keep it pretty consistent as well. It's not always practical, like pulling speakers out of amps, and or I want to get a secondary cable that can go from my any amp into any of the speakers, so I don't have to keep pulling the speakers out. Ideally, that would be the way to go. It might mean I have to. My friend Brian's actually got one of those speaker cables, and I think he might have actually made it. I'll have a look and see. I'll ask him next time I speak to him. Actually, instead of having to retune, let's have a look at this. So the video I made of this coming up might be my best video yet. So, whew, it still smells new. This has got the TV Jones. So thanks again, Matty K. I appreciate that, mate. If you do have any other questions coming up, let us know. Oh, good to hear. Thanks. What have we got? Celestian, greenback or creamback for a Marshall DSL? Yeah, I don't like greenbacks, man. Although some people swear by them, but I would put a creamback in it. Just a bit more headroom. Probably a bit more warmth as well. Greenbacks, you know, my least favorite speaker I had in a Blues Junior ended up being the greenback. So I haven't been too disappointed any time I've heard a creamback in any amp, whether it's a Fender or a Marshall or whatever. So I would probably go for that. You know what? Have I got my pick in here? I do! I couldn't find my chicken pick before. And I was using this crappy plastic thing. Garbage pick. Here we go. This guitar's great. I know I've got a pretty high gain sort of sound, but with a little less gain, let's see if we can... I don't think this amp's probably the ultimate sort of matching tone comparison, but this, or matching sort of tone setup, but yeah, we've got locking tuners and everything on here. So this video will be up in a couple of weeks. Oh, maybe less. Oh, I might bump it forward. Clifford says, first time catching the live show. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. If you've got any questions, let us know, and I will hopefully answer it. And if I forget or I don't see it, just ask it again. Sometimes it's a bit hard keeping up with the comments once I get talking. Hi Shane, been watching you for years. Fellow lefty here. Next time in the States, you got to go to Southpaw Guitars in Houston. I bought several guitars for them. Awesome people. That's from Greg. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, I do plan on getting there at some point. Hopefully I'll meet up with Jamal and we can head down there. What's that other song I was playing the other day? I've forgotten how it goes. Nah, I got nothing. Any experience or opinions on the Moore preamp live? No, I don't think I've played that before. Preamp live? No, I don't think so. Having dyslexia tonight, I'm having trouble reading the comments. I should have made them larger. They're like really small, and I'm quite a fair way back from my screen. So, and I should just make that larger. Hang on a sec. I don't know if you were talking about yourself or me, but let's make this larger. There we go. Hey. All right, we have bigger text. So this is one of the new little crows. This isn't a keep, as in, I'd love to keep this, but I had to send it back. So it's like a 335 style body, two F holes. They're not painted on, they're actually like, you know, they're semi-hollow. TV Jones Filtertron pickups, 50 style neck, in terms of its, you know, it's got a big neck. It's great. And you know what? I took it out of the box. When was it? 2 days ago? It's 2 days ago? I think so, yeah. One string was out of tune. So these locking tuners are awesome. And it came all the way from Western Australia. So that's kind of the equivalent for those overseas going from like Vancouver all the way to New York or something like that. So, you know, it's right across the other side of... It's further, actually, than that. So that's just a perspective on how far it is. Matty K says, I'm in love with the Cannabis Rex in my Princeton. They're a really good speaker for stuff like, Princeton, Blues Junior, Supersonic 22. It sort of does good things to those amps, so good stuff. Channeling it in a Malcolm Young. Yeah, I was trying to think of this other AC/DC song before, and it's just slipped my mind. I can't even hear it in my head, so that's the first problem. What's my feeling on locking tuners? I love them. I just think it's a great addition. Gibson should put them on every guitar. And that's not a Gibson hate thing, it's just fact. Like, I know they do it on a few of their guitars. And I had them on my a couple of Fender guitars over the years. And one of my ones that I sold a couple of years back was my 50th anniversary Strat. And that had locking tuners. That was the most reliable guitar tuning wise I ever owned. Pure Salem guitar I've got has them now as well. So that, I think that might be the only guitar with locking tuners. So for those who don't know, this is how easy locking tuners are, right? You put the string through the thing, you lock it off at the back, and then you do like one or two turns and that's it, and they won't move. It's once you stretch the string out, that's it. So it's really cool. Those pickups sound like old PVT60 pickups. Cool. Hey Shane, if there's a pedal I think you'd be interested in demoing, how do I contact you? Just email me at intheblues@outlook.com or intheblues@hotmail.com. Same thing. I'm pretty sure the Hotmail one still works, but yeah, just go outlook.com, intheblues@outlook.com. I don't demo every pedal I get offered to demo either. There's just too many of them, and I have a feeling coming up I won't be doing as many of them either. They're starting to become a chore, whereas everything else I do on the channel I love doing. So I have a feeling I might be pulling them back. Kind of coming up maybe after December or something like that, but we'll see how we go. I got a couple of other funny-ish ideas that I'm working on. I did a test shoot of it yesterday, and I think it might go over okay. I've just got to get a few things sorted with it, but yeah, I'm going to try a couple of new things coming up on the channel again. So, so for those who have just joined, this isn't mine. This is a loner from Little Crow. So, this particular guitar kind of makes me want to use my fingers more. I encourage you to check out the video I did of this, which will be up soon. I tried my hand at country picking the intro on a completely different feel, and it took me about 35 goes, and yeah, it took me forever, but I kind of got something that worked. Oh, let me just go down here. I have tungsten silver sky. Oh, that's from BV Ninja to Maddie. Cool. What do I think was the best cheap guitar you've ever merely picked up and went, hey, that's cool? So the best cheap guitar, in my opinion, is the SX VTG series guitars. They're like cost me nothing, like $200 Australian. So I don't know what that works out to, about 130 US or something. If you can get them there, a lot of people are saying they're hard to find, but I would say that's probably the best cheap guitar that I've played in ever. You know, you could say like the classic vibes are great, but they're way more expensive here, especially. So, and in general, I think almost anywhere they probably come in around 400 US or something like that now too. So I would probably say the SX guitars were surprisingly great. You know, I'm yet to play any Harley Benton guitars. I've got a couple on the way, but I haven't played them yet. I've only seen them, so I can't really comment yet. Thank you. Owner of a Lonely Heart. It's one of my favorite songs, man. What a tune. What a great song. If you ever want to see the funniest video clip ever, go check out Owner of a Lonely Heart. They're standing on this set and the singer's wearing like sandals and socks, and it's the most like uncoordinated looking video I've ever seen. I posted it on my feed a while back. I love the song. It's such a great song, that for those that, you know. That one. I love it. I think it's just a great, great riff, great vocal. Everything about the song's awesome, but the video is so hilarious. Do I think I'll do a demo of the new Fender Champion? I think that's supposed to say 50 XL. I nearly bought it the day I found it just to do a video, but you know, I was a little underwhelmed by it, to be honest. It didn't really serve any purpose at my house. And what I mean by that is it's not loud enough to really gig with it where I gig with it. It might be okay for smaller gigs. I don't know if I'll do it. Look, it sounded fine. For home use, it's going to be great, but I already got a couple of amps for home use in it. For me, just to buy an amp just to do a video, I was kind of like, do I risk it? You know, the video not doing well, and then I'm down $330. So, you know, I just thought, no, I'm not going to. Look, it's a maybe. Look, if they turn up on sale at some point, I might give it a go. But, yeah, we'll see how we go with that. My 100K jam. So, yeah, that's this Sunday. For those who have just joined, I was going to do it as a live stream and have everything hooked up webcam-wise, but I thought that's going to suck. So I'm taking 5 video cameras, and I've got an 8-channel sound card recorder thing we're going to use. And we're basically going to be doing as much stuff as we can in about a 2-hour window. So we'll do a bit of a live gig slash jam thing. And it'll be a loose jam. It'll be like, all right, kick off a groove and we'll play sort of thing. Or I'll kick off something, or Rick can, and we'll go. We're not playing like, you know, cover songs or anything. Nothing's rehearsed. It'll be a jam in the true sense of the word. So, hey, Michael Bradley, welcome, man. Sorry, I didn't see you pop up. How are you? Check out his channel, guys. Michael's a dude. I'm not using your little amp today, mate. I'm using this one, the little Joyo Zombie. So when we're overseas, Michael wanted that amp that's on my speaker here. But I was lucky enough to score it. Actually, Rick scored that one, but I got it here at the moment. And your video on it was killer, by the way, man. So, yeah, just yeah. Check out his channel, guys. Great player. Nice guy, too. All right, so we've got a few of the guys here. Did I get offered a wireless system from Rachel recently? I think it's a con. No. I lose track, man. I had about 15 emails from companies wanting to send different wireless packs. And I did end up getting them. So these are like X5, you know, wireless things here. But that was it. I'm not too sure about who that is. All right, let me just scroll down here a little bit. Any chance of seeing Ryan? Ryan will be at the live gig thing that we're doing. So, yeah, he'll definitely be there. He's got a couple of nice little guitars since last time as well. So I'm going to have a chat to everybody, make sure we've all... we've all got different guitars, but I want to make sure like we're at least all got something a little bit different. We don't all want to turn up playing tallies or something. So I'll see if we can all bring a couple of different guitars each and have a play. Yeah, so that jam was something that I wanted to do for quite some time on the channel, and it was... I thought the 100,000 subscriber milestone might be kind of a fun time to do it. And then it was just a matter of getting everybody together and then also finding somewhere to do it that would work. So we're going to literally do it at the place we jam at every Sunday, but we're going to do it before that normal jam starts. And So it'll give us some time just to, you know, have a jam and have a play and record everything we need to, set up the cameras and then move everything before everyone starts knocking them over with their guitar bags and stuff. So last thing I want in my camera is hitting the floor. So, and then you're always, you know, if you've ever taken expensive stuff to a pub or a bar or whatever, you know how unreliable people can be walking in and out of the place. So yeah, I think we've got five, one, two, three, four, five. I think we've got six cameras. So we should be able to get some pretty good shots. I'm hoping that, my cable's getting stuck. I'm hoping it goes all right and we're playing all right that day. It's just one of those things, you know, you never know. Every day's different and it's unrehearsed stuff. I'm not going to do any of my, it's just going to be a blues jam basically, like it would be any night of the week at this joint, so, or any Sunday. Hang in there, Shane, the chat box is apparently slow. Oh, okay. I might have just been a little bit behind the comments before, but it's coming through all right, unless it's laggy for you guys, but everything seems pretty cool. All right, so we're going to go for an hour. So I've got about 20 minutes left. If anyone has questions or whatever, feel free to ask. Yeah, so there's some cool stuff coming up on the channel. I'm looking forward to doing some actual live playing on it here again. It's been a while since I've actually, there's been clips of me playing live. Oh, not just of me, but of the jam, you know, if I'm testing out some gear and all that. But I only usually use my Zoom H1 recorder, little mini mic thing. But we're going to have eight mics in the room, you know, on the amps. And wait till you hear this other guy, Dom, play. He is an absolute monster and he's really unique as well. Total rock and roller, but can play killer funk stuff. He's completely different. The only thing I'm a little bit sad about is my friend Brian. So not Ryan, but Brian. He's like, you know, one of my favorite players ever. He never runs out of ideas. He plays with lots of feel. He's completely out of the box if he needs to be. Great vocalist, but unfortunately had a gig. And if I moved the jam another week, I'd lose the drummers. So it kind of sucked. So Brian ended up missing out, unfortunately. So many great people here. Please sub to each other. And if you like, please leave Shane a big thumbs up. Thanks for that, Sonia. I appreciate that. Yeah, we've got 110 or so people here. If you haven't given the video the thumbs up, or if you're not enjoying it, you can thumbs it down. I don't care. But no, I appreciate that. Thanks, Sonia. And you're right. We're a pretty lucky community on the guitar community. A lot of good folks turning up. Lando, welcome, man. Going to see Pete Thorne next week, the local music shop. Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's a nice dude. You know, I had a chat to him a bit and had a, you know, he was nice enough to jump on a quick segment of a video I did, you know, about how to get out of a rut. And he's cool. Like, he's got a lot of knowledge about music and concepts and stuff, obviously. So he can talk and talk. He knows his stuff, no doubt about it. It's more about using a mic with a camera for when I go to an amp. Oh, did I miss a question? Sorry, Mike. Where was it? Let me know if I missed something, man. Maybe I did miss some stuff. Yeah, if you got any tech questions, man, let us know. I'm a huge nerd when it comes to cameras and mics and all that kind of stuff, so happy to help. I should plug my tech channel. My new tech channel just got to 1,000 subs. All right. So if you're looking for doing like wireless interviews, if that's what you're looking for, that U3 wireless pack is great. I just chuck that on the bottom of a 58 or something and take that and plug the other end into the camera if you've got that ability to do so. Really handy thing to have. Otherwise, you know what? You can always use these kind of mics when you do interviews. I've done stuff where I've talked like this and then I've moved the mic over to the next person that was talking and it worked great. So that's also an option. Uh, What do I have the Joyo plugged into? So yeah, it's plugged into the Two Notes Torpedo. I'm using my Swamp Thing profile. Yeah, so I think everyone that went to GitCon can get one of those XLR packs, man. If you didn't get that email, you should you should look into it. Could be boring. Any opinions on good affordable studio monitors? I also like to know where you source your concert bills. Oh, the ones on the wall. Okay, so all right. So in terms of thanks, Maddie. I appreciate that, man. I don't use stuff I don't like, right? If I get sent something and it's crap, it either goes back or I don't even bother most of the time now. Like, I used to just film everything, right? But it comes to a point where you're like, if it doesn't do what I'm going to, if I want it to do or better than what I had, then it goes for one reason or another. And I've been using KRK monitors in here or in my old studio, in my old house. If you go back to the start of my YouTube channel, I had KRK studio monitors, right? So I've had them a long time. I produced probably 15 albums on there for myself and other people. And some of those had radio play, some had local radio play, some had, you know, whatever. So a lot of those speakers did the business for a long, long time. These Atom Audio ones are heaps less expensive. So they don't even, I think they're like less than half the price. And they're so much more balanced to my ear. It sounds like what I was expecting. When I reviewed them, I said on the video that I used to have to EQ my mix a certain way on the KRKs for them to sound good in anything else. I was so used to that particular type of sound that it almost like underwhelming, it sort of gave you an underwhelming sense of the low end bass response. So I'd have to mix the bass a particular way almost so I couldn't really hear it so much on those speakers. So when I put the mix in the car, it sounded great. So I got so used to that. With these though, it's different. They sound more like, almost like more regular speakers, or I'm not going to say like hi-fi speakers because that's not what they are, but I would say the Atom Audio ones are great. And I'll tell you another one that's highly underrated for a cheap speaker, the Behringer speakers, and not the small ones that you turn on from the front, but they're studio monitors. I think they're called Truth. A mate of mine's done a few productions on those speakers. I've listened to the mix and there's nothing wrong with it at all. It sounded great. So I would sort of go for something with a 5 or 6 inch driver, somewhere around there. You don't want to go too much smaller. So the bottom speaker, like this one here, should be, you know, somewhere between, you know, 5 and 6 inches. And that would be my recommendation. Anything smaller than that, I wouldn't worry about it. Now, in terms of these things, I get all these pictures off Google and I get them printed locally. It costs me $1 a poster. Hey guys, X5 wireless versus Harley Benton airborne system. I haven't tried the Harley Benton one before, so I don't really know. The X5 wireless system, I got a video coming up about it. In terms of their XLR, like mic system, that's like, it feels like a really high quality piece of kit. And I mentioned this in the video coming up for this, that these feel a little cheap, but they work. So, you know, I just wonder how long they're going to last. But, you know, so far so good. I've used them live 4 times, I think, now. So, yeah, they're pretty cool. Hey dude, hope all is well. Great Fender Mustang overview and comparison. Pretty cool. Fender recognizes the importance of a great YouTube content. Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, and you know, like I still was critical in some of my review of the sounds, but it's like the thought was never to approach people that made reviews like that. But now it seems like they're a bit more interested in just getting promo out there, and it's probably a cheap way for them to sort of get their name out to more people too. And allowing like criticism of their product is a good thing. it shows that they're actually like not trying to control the content. I get so many emails where companies are like, all right, we want to send you this, but we need you to go over these bullet points and tell everybody why you've been using it for so long. I'm like, how about you just don't send it? I'm not interested in saying anything. I said, if you don't allow someone to speak their mind on a video, what's the point? I get it. There's like those subjective things where, you know, I've said this a million times. If I get a pedal and it's not something I would use, I can still demo it and then say like its strengths in comparison to other pedals that I've used of its type, right? Without like chopping it or cutting it down or whatever, because it's, you know, it's not something I would personally use, but I can see why people would dig it. Like fuzz pedals. I don't like a whole lot of fuzz pedals, but I know a lot of people do. So I just show people how it sounds. It's that kind of review. But yeah, there's some weird companies out there, but I think Fender are doing it the right way now. Like if they give stuff to people, they're just like, just do whatever you like. I wouldn't have done it otherwise. All right, let me just bring the chat down here. What do I think of Hepcat pickups? I haven't heard of them, actually. I go into the H4N. Yeah, they're good recording devices, absolutely. Zoom make good stuff. I've had a number of those over the years. I've still got the H1, which is their mini stereo recorder. I've got their R16. Sorry, I had two of those, but I've only got one left. I had their H2N? It was like this little rectangular thing that stood upright. It was a completely different sort of recorder. That was cool. I probably should have kept that in hindsight, but anyway. Yeah, those H4Ns are awesome. I've actually got the old H4, like before the N, with the battery life of like, you know, 26 seconds. It's awesome. All right, let me just scroll down. Have I played Reverend guitars? I have. I've done probably 5 or 6 videos of them over the years. They're all done at Jerry's Lefty Guitars. That's the only place I've ever seen Lefty Reverend guitars anywhere. So. Yeah. Oh, that mini humbucker is awesome. This is the Tele pickup. What happened with my deal with Sky Music? It felt like we were wasting our time. I gave them all the information on how to at least contribute to helping the channel grow. They did nothing. They didn't put the videos on their website. They didn't do anything. So, you know, it got to a point where one of the guys that was at the shop was trying to put pressure on us to say certain things in videos. And I was like, you know what, Rick, I think we're done. He goes, yep. So that was it. I think they didn't realize the potential they could have had by having us do what we were doing the way we wanted to do it. And once, you know, the plan was to let me control the YouTube channel. Once that wasn't the way that they wanted to run it, because for whatever reason, they shot themselves in the foot. So I just stopped. Look, they're nice guys. I still go there. I just don't want to be involved in any other way behind the scenes with stuff. I just thought, do your own thing. Because, you know, I've got 11 years of experience on here. I know what works. And I've proven this now, like, with their channel, Rick and I got 100,000 views in the first month. 100,000 views. Because of the system I knew that would work, right? It's just, it's one of those things. And just to see them do nothing, it's just a waste of my time. You know, so that was the end of that. Look, they did offer me to still be able to go in there and borrow stuff and all of that. But I just thought, you know what? I'll just let it go. So, yeah. I don't really need to be borrowing a lot of stuff. I mean, I gave them, you know, probably the equivalent of like 20 grand worth of advertising, free advertising on the channel. I don't know how much it'd be worth, but, you know, something like that. There's probably 100 videos I shot. And yeah, I just sort of felt like if they're not going to make any effort at all, then I'm not gonna be involved in it. I'm a really driven person. I know what works, and sometimes when people think, you know, a boss might think he understands everything, but he doesn't, and then there's all these security concerns with accounts that could affect my channel, then I was like, I'm not having that. So I re-uploaded everything to a different email account and just said, here you go. Do I ever tilt your amp when playing live? I don't normally, no. I like to try to chop everybody's head off, excluding mine. Look, I've done it before, but I don't like it facing up. And there's another reason why. I had a Yorkville Trainor for a long time, and I had that amp. This idiot at one of the jams we went to years ago tilted it, and I said, "Don't tilt my amp," and I put it back. He goes, "No, it'll be all right." So he tilted it, and it was on a floorboard, you know, like a floorboard floor, basically, it's like wooden floorboards. And the thing slipped, and I broke he broke the friggin' on-off button off, right? And I blasted the guy. I said, "Man, I told you not to, you know, do that. What are you thinking? Oh, sorry about that. I didn't think it would fall." I'm like, "You're a, you know." Anyway, I'll keep the language off. But yeah, after that, I never did it again. I just, even if it's carpet and it's secure, I just don't like doing it. All right. Do I prefer the Pro Junior to the Blues Junior? No. But if you're a home player, probably buy the Pro Junior. Look, if you're in a house, you can get away with the Blues Junior, but the Blues Juniors are always way louder than most people think in terms of volume. I'd probably prefer to own the Blues Junior over the Pro Junior because it has reverb and the EQ stack and all that, but yeah. Inside baseball tip right there on the wall art, great idea. So yeah, I just search for band posters of interest and I find the ones that I like, and I take them to a place here called Officeworks, which is like a office supply shop, and they've got these really great printing facilities. Where is it here? The John Mayer one is, where is it? Ugh, I can't reach. There it is. That one. Everything's backwards. So that one's laminated, but I can't remember how I got that done. I might have done it at my old job years ago or something, but yeah, you can get them laminated if you want them to last a bit longer too. It's probably a good move. But the only problem with lamination is if you're going to be filming, and I learned that with that John Mayer poster, and a couple of the others were laminated, is reflections are awful. So I stopped doing it. What's my favorite guitar hardware design for best intonation? Example, some love the wraparound bridge and some hate them. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, probably a Strat, you know, like I think Strats are pretty handy for intonation. They're just easy to intonate, you know, simple system. Very similar to this, actually. You know, they've got the individual string. Look, I love the Tally bridge, the three saddle bridge thing, but they don't intonate quite as well. But they sound good. Wow, sorry guys, I just realized the chat's moved quite a lot here. Great channel, Shane. This is from Buddy. Thanks, man. Hoping to get your opinion, please, for home recording jamming either Blues Junior 4 or the Hot Rod DeVille 4212. All right, so two completely different amps. The Hot Rod 4212 is one of the best amps I've ever played. You can use it without any pedals. The downside of it is, to some extent, is it's a very, very loud pedal, and it's also a very loud pedal. Very loud amp, I should say. I was reading something else, and it's also really heavy as well. So if weight isn't a concern, oh man, I mean the Hot Rod DeVille 4212 is like one of the best amps I've ever played. I was so close to buying it, and it's the exact opposite of what I need, is another big heavy amp, but it sounds great. No need to change the speakers. It sounded better on the dirty channel than it did on the clean channel with some of our pedals. So that puts it into perspective. They're finally, after 20 or 30 years or however long those amps have been around, they finally nailed it. So I can highly recommend them. Blues Junior 4 are better for home, not home, but like smaller gigs. Or if you need to mic up, I'd probably go for a Blues Junior. If you want to fill the room, then the actual DeVille would be definitely the way to go. One of the best clean tones I ever had was a DeVille as well. They're just beautiful. It's the first amp I ever hurt my back seriously with too, so just be careful. Let me scroll down here. Am I familiar with Dan Polansky, excellent blues guitarist? I don't know. The name doesn't sound familiar. That's a nice guitar you're holding. Thanks, Guitar Hack. Appreciate that. Welcome, man. The best of both worlds, you get that tally sort of sting. And then the mini humbucker. Not a lot of people play mini humbuckers for whatever reason, I don't know why. Playing right there. These strings are like 100 years old. Have I listened to Justin Johnson? Yeah, absolutely. So I'll tell you a little story, which I'll go into in more detail coming up. So this guitar. So for those who don't know, right, this guitar was kind of like, if you look it up, littlecrowguitars.com, this is its initials SD, right, which are my initials. So I had some input into this. I was one of the guys that did a lot of the testing for this guitar. This was the first of the finished guitars that, well, I thought it was finished when I got my hands on this. So this is the Corvino SD. So the SDs, yeah, like I said, my initials. So a lot of some of the concepts that I had went into this guitar from the planning stages. And I mean, look, I didn't help build it or anything like that. That's all Little Crow Guitars. They do that extremely well. But yeah, so they were nice enough to chuck my initials on it, which was pretty cool. So yeah, I thought that was awesome. But the cool thing with this one is, you're asking about Justin Johnson. I said I forgot about this actually. I said to Dave and Viv, you should try maybe doing like a 335 style version of the Corvino as well. You know, it's a cool shape. And I found out just yesterday or the day before, 2 days ago, that the pickups were suggested by Justin Johnson. So, yeah, so there you go. So he's one of the other artists that Little Crow Guitars have a lot to do with. They send him stuff and he uses a lot of the guitars and he's a monster. I think he's got like some ungodly amount of people following him on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook anymore, but I remember last time I looked him up, yeah, he had like lots and lots. So this was kind of like a combination of his ideas and mine, mixed with obviously the know-how of Little Crow. I mean, that's where it comes from the most. But, you know, they take those little suggestions on board and, you know, they built an absolute beast with this. So, yeah. And you know what? I'm so glad they didn't build another, like, straight-up brown guitar. So, yeah, so there you go. That's some input from myself and Justin Johnson, who I've never met, but seems like a cool guy. All right, awesome live stream. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Old Guy Guitar Vlog. Little Joy Eye sounds amazing. Yeah, it's a beast. It's got, you know, it does have a dedicated clean channel, but if you want to like roll down the gain, it doesn't really clean up. It's just it's a balls to the wall kind of little amp. It's great. All right, what's the time here? All right, so we might wrap it up pretty soon. If anyone has any last questions, feel free to ask us here. Do they have a US distributor? If that's in relation to Little Crow, no. You just buy them or order them direct from them.
So they're made in Australia, Australian woods, Australian pickups, except for the TV Jones, obviously. But the rest of the guitars, that I'm pretty sure they're all Mick Briley pickups, which are killer. And same old thing. If it wasn't good, I wouldn't use it. It's just the way that I am. I would have flipped it on eBay. So yeah, being that none of these guitars have rosewood anything, you won't have any problems sort of getting them sent overseas either. As a fellow lefty, love the channel, best 4-6 channel mixer for home use. In terms of a straight up mixer, if you're looking for something affordable, there's nothing wrong with the Behringer ones. I think they're great. I can't recall the model number off the top of my head, but I've owned a number of those over the years. They're awesome. You know, if you're looking for something more expensive and a little more elaborate, you could probably go for something like a Mackie or a Croft. I always get them confused. There's a what have we got? Just sold an Epiphone Dot. Cool. Do I ever play slide? I've been working on it a little bit, but not a lot. I've got the concept of it in my head now, which was something I didn't understand before. It's not easy. Slide is a different, it feels like a different instrument. You literally, your approach changes and the way you see the fretboard kind of changes as well. So, it's not easy. I've got an album that's nearly finished, right? It's been sitting here for a while. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get any bass on there yet. I might just hire someone else to do it, but it's one of those things where I got my friend Brian to come over and play some slide, and I'm like, he goes, how come you can't work it out? I was like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but it always sounds out. And he showed me some concepts, and I went, all right, cool. So I've got more of, I added a little bit to my album, just a little bit. So I can kind of get around some simple stuff, but I'm not by any means any good at it yet. Guitar Hack in the Blues, you got me playing more blues, awesome stuff. Yeah, I saw your little blues thing you posted, that was cool. Adjusting to the new Adams, I have a pair and they're beautiful. Yeah, it took me no time at all. I literally plugged them in and I went, wow. When I heard the difference between these and what I was used to hearing for the last 10 years or so, it was a no-brainer. These aren't as loud as the Rocket 8s. But they're way more balanced. I feel like my mix is going to be a whole lot better on these instinctively now, instead of going, oh, I need to sort of scoop out more lows, it's too bassy, even though I can't even hear the bass enough. So, yeah, I'll just grab a quick drink here. Matthew Black, that's a great idea for a video. I appreciate that. Desert Island Discs. Who's better, eBay or Reverb for selling guitars? Look, I think it depends on where you live. Reverb's going to be cheaper in terms of fees and all that kind of stuff. eBay in Australia kills Reverb. Reverb's a waste of time here. In the US, places where there's more people, it's a much better option than it is here. I don't know if eBay's struggling now in the US or not. I'm not really too familiar with it as of right now, but anytime I go to sell stuff, I'll either use eBay. I had a Reverb account. I just don't use it. I tried listing a few things. Nothing happened. It was just a waste of time here. Everyone wanted stuff sent overseas and it wasn't practical. So yeah, look, if you live in Australia, I would use eBay. If you live overseas, maybe just list them on both. You got nothing to lose. It's a pleasure to see your webcast. I'd like to meet you and Steve from Boston someday. Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, Steve's a dude. He's a nice guy. I flew over there to meet him last year in July or August, I think it was. Was it last year or the year before? It was last year. Pretty sure it was last year.
And I met Nick in the States as well, another awesome guy. He was cool. So there was no YouTube event. I just wanted to meet him. I thought, you know what, while I'm here, why not? You know, if you ever at any of the guitar shows, you know, I know Steve from Boston goes to a lot of those, like NAMM and all that kind of stuff. I don't really do any of that. I might go to NAMM in Nashville at some point. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to go to the one in California. It doesn't seem to be something that would interest me. Like, I know I'm around gear a lot, but, you know, I don't like dealing with too many people all at once, and I hear it's crazy busy. Guitar Hack says Canadian reverb isn't very good either. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, Australia and Canada are pretty similar size-wise in terms of population. I think, actually, Australia has more people than Canada now, but... yeah, it's just one of those things, man. Gumtree is terrible in Australia. Gave up too many lowball offers and idiots without money-making offers. Yeah, look, Gumtree, I was off there for 2 years until recently. I used to just get too much spam. You know, you list your number and you get text messages sent to you from not even people, just like bots and spam crap and all that. And emails come through, just spam and people trying to scam you and all that. So, yeah, it got kind of old pretty quick. But, you know, I'm in the process of trying to... Oh, well, I'm going to try and sell at least one guitar coming up. And I'm sort of like, yeah, I'll probably just try eBay. You know, it reaches more people than Gumtree and I don't know. I bought a D'Angelico Premier Lefty from Reverb in the States, posted to Australia, easy transaction. Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? So it's good for people to... for people overseas to buy from reverb.com, but it's probably not something that you're going to sell a lot of stuff back to the US, if you know what I mean. So yeah, the shipping costs and all that are pretty brutal when people could just buy it locally off Amazon or whatever, unless it's a used item, you know. That's pretty much what Reverb is, but you don't find a lot of deals on Reverb either. Anytime I've looked, it's all like expensive stuff. You know, you can buy crap on there, but no one wants to spend money on crap. All right. Have you ever played Line 6 D 25 amps? I haven't, no. Have I ever played righty guitars upside down? I have. It's not pretty. I've got a righty, actually, if you want to see me butcher that. Do I have any Gibson guitars? I don't. And the funny thing with that is I picked up one the other day that I went, wow, look at this. It's like not a gold top, but it was, oh no, one was actually, there were two. So one Les Paul in the first shop, I went, was it the first one a gold? I think the first one was a gold top. It was a 50s tribute. And I saw it was a lefty, like the sunbeams came through, you know, it was like, ah. I was like, all right, let's grab this. And it felt amazing. I was like, all right, I got to plug this in. It felt really like lively in the hand. And I said, oh, can I plug this in? Plugged it in, and there was no earthing on the guitar at all. None. It just buzzed. So I could switch pickups, and it was noisier than the Strat that I was just playing before. And the guy's like, oh, I think that might be the lights in the store. I'm like, grab the Strat, plug in. It's fine. So, yeah, no is the quick answer. I've got two Tokais. I've got a 335 and a Les Paul. That's it. I might get a Gibson down the track if there's one that really blows me away, but I'm open to that. I'm just yet to find a lefty that completely blows me away and makes me want to buy it. The only one that I liked was the one that I had that I couldn't use a lot was the one with the P90s, because the places I was playing at that particular point in time were just too noisy. Even my room here is noisy too. So the Gibson Custom Shop VOS that I had was a killer guitar, but it was pretty expensive and pretty hard to play at, you know, most venues where there's issues with buzz. But I'd love to get a Flying V, a Gibson Flying V. I think Jamal and I might be on the same page there. Well, thanks, Jamal. Appreciate that, man. Yeah, look, I've for me to go to NAMM, you know, I'm not sponsored by companies. I don't get flown there for free like a lot of other guys will. So if it's not a viable sort of
do I want to go there and have a look around? I'd like to, but I don't really want to pay $3,000 to fly over there, get hotels to promote companies that I'm not interested in either. So I'd love to like walk around and check it out. I think that would be a lot of fun. I just don't know how much I'd enjoy being there all the time or having to do like interviews. That's not really the way I want to see my channel or the way I want to gear it anyway. All right, I'll take a couple more questions and I'm going to make a move. Have I checked out the H&K Black Spirit 200? I haven't. No. I don't think I tested that while I was away. All right, guys. Well, we might wrap it up. Thanks for hanging around. If hopefully answered most of the questions. If I did miss anything, feel free to post on the replay. And anytime the red dots are in the title, it means the stream is live. Anytime the red dots aren't there, that means you're watching the playback. Just for those, I should always mention that at the start. I always forget. So we've had a constant amount of people here. Terry, welcome. Terry's here, guys. We've got to go. Let's just troll him and all leave, all right? Anyway, thanks for hanging out. I appreciate it. Yeah, like I said, any questions, if I missed them, just I can't talk for some reason. But if I missed anything, just leave them in the comments on the playback. So we're going to fade to black because I've got this spiffy little setup. Oh, you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to do this. Here you go. Let's iconicize. Is that even a word? There's the stream. There's the chat. Look at it go. That's hilarious. It's catching up. There we go. So I think we're pretty much caught up there. And yeah, I totally forgot I could do this stuff. So anyway, all right, guys, rock on. Have a good day. Have a good night. And we'll catch you soon. See ya.